fun continues right here on, well, I guess we're continuing. Meet me at the diner. It'll be happy hour in just a little bit. Did you know, Curtis, I have a show called Happy Hour with Ann?
Oh, I did not know that, but I'm not surprised. Every hour with Ann is a happy hour.
Oh, there you go. But, Curtis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful drive from Columbia to here. Once you get past Lexington, you get those rolling hills, and I love it.
Absolutely. Now, I know you said you came up here because of me, but that's not exactly true. How come you're up here today?
So I do have a rule, and I know it sounds solicitous, especially coming from a politician, but anytime I get to come down here, I do. I love Greenwood. I love the drive down here. It's the most peaceful thing. Billy Odell has been the Yale Senator for a long time, and Billy has been a great protector of mine in the Senate these last 4 or 5 weeks. Many people know that we're trying to reorganize and restructure and trying to change the errant ways of the Investment Commission. Mm-hmm. That's that $25 billion of taxpayer and government employee money, trust fund.
And that is something that you were responsible for? Treasurer's office was responsible for?
The treasurer is the custodian, so we're in charge of the safekeeping of the money mm-hmm. and the reporting. And then I'm on the commission that votes. There are five of us.
The Budget and Control Board?
Yeah. Well, the Budget and Control Board, I'm actually a trustee from there.
Okay.
I'm a triple fiduciary. I know. It's complicated.
Triple fiduciary. Yeah. That sounds like shouldn't be that way.
But think about this. I mean, you know, you can get stabbed over $20, right? You know? And 20,
you're still standing.
Yeah, that's it. $20. $25 billion. The interest on that is a massive amount of money. The legal fees, the printing bills, the office space, everything around that, the airline travel, the law fees, the trading fees. Go down any type of a business expense you have, and it's a massive amount of money. And I'm on them. We pay too much money. We don't reconcile our bills. There's not a small or a medium businessman in this town who would pay bills and do business like the Investment Commission does. We'll pay a $40 million bill and never get the first sentence of explanation.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Sounds like a fat pig to me.
And so what's happened is I'm on it, and it's just taking me a lot of time because it's complicated. There are all kind of confidentiality agreements. I can't bring lawyers in to read the contracts. I have to read the contracts. And sometimes it may be 1,000 pages each when you finish with all the addendums and all. So it takes me a lot of time. But we're going to win this battle. In fact, we already have. We just haven't told people because this has got to manifest itself now. There are a lot of people who liked it the old way. There are a lot of people who were just fine with the commission and the taxpayers and the government employees paying $1.8 million a day in fees. So when I started after that, a small group of senators decided it wasn't a good idea. How things work in the Senate, it's interesting. You know, they all have a vote, but some people have more of a vote than others. And there's that leadership. The leadership sits on the front row, and they're pretty tough. When the leaders get up and come to the back and say, hey, it's time for you to sit down, people sit down. But let me tell you what happened. In the vote to try to throw the treasurer off of this commission, and the treasurer is the only elected person there.
And that's you.
That's me. Billy Odell said, no, I'm not going to sit down. In the beginning of that day, we were probably going to lose that vote 35-10. At the end of that day, we won that vote. We won the vote 35-10. And Billy and two or three other senators said, no, it's not going to happen, and we're going to fight about this. And because we were right, and because Billy was right, and because he stood up, he wouldn't sit down when they told him to sit down. He said, we're going to protect the Treasury. Government employees don't make a lot of money. They've got a contract for retirement. They ought to get it. Taxpayers don't make a lot of money. They shouldn't be paying extra money they have to. So Billy stood up for the taxpayer. He stood up for the government employee and that future retiree. And I won't forget it. And I told them all, I said, the next party, the next function, the next marriage, the next funeral, whatever you got, the next one you have, I want to come and say thank you. And so I went to Mike Rose's down in Somerville, Senator Mike Rose, Harvard-educated lawyer. He stood up with Billy. Now I'm up here with Billy, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be right now than to stand with somebody who stood with me in that foxhole.
That's pretty terrific, isn't it?
It is something you don't see in politics much. And it would have been very easy to say, oops, I've got to sit down now. But he didn't. And so,
what does that mean futuristically?
Well, For me, it means for me it means I'm stay on the commission. It means I get to finish my work. We're going to say, I mean, literally, I don't really like to talk about what we're doing in the investment commission because it's so hard for people to understand. The numbers are so big. When we start looking at 85 different fund managers, all of them have 100, 200, 500 million, maybe $1 billion each.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see when you get in there and start having efficiencies, when you start saying, we paid a law firm $175,000, I want to see the bill, because we never see the bills. I want to see that bill. You can imagine what happens. And I'm going to look at them all. We're not going to stop until every penny is accounted for. And if somebody has billed us and they can't prove it, I'm going to get that money back. And
well, how much money do you think you'd end up saving by going through all this, Curtis?
Well, I'm hesitant, because it's hard to know. I think we're going to recover a substantial sum of money. And it's the kind of thing that...
is this in already paid bills where you will get paid back?
That's right.
And what about futuristic bills?
We will have a much better opportunity. So we picked out one fund here recently, and we started studying that fund, just one out of 85. We picked out one fund, and we immediately found a significant error. I mean, it's a lot of money.
Right.
Then we said, okay.
How much money is a lot of money, Curtis?
Well, this reporting error was $18.1 million for 1 year. Okay.
That was money that was paid out?
It was in your accrual stack to be paid.
Okay.
So we stopped that. And then we've got to renegotiate the contract because the contract was not negotiated properly, and so therefore we're paying more fees than we're supposed to. Now I think we'll get some of that money back, and some of it we just won't ever have to pay again. So it's the best of what we can do, but it's a lot of money. If you're at your household budget, you know I spend I'm a single guy now, so I spend what $100 every 2 weeks at the grocery store. So if I say
you eat out a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a politician. Where I go, people shove food at me.
Right.
So, you know, there's only so much money I can save. You know, you save $10, $15 or something like that. But when you're talking about $25 billion, you know, 10% is $2.5 billion.
That really adds up.
And
what is this money? This money is for this is for the retirement fund?
Yes, that's right. Every year or every week or 2 weeks when they get paid, state employees, city employees, county employees, teachers, firemen, I pay into it. We all pay a portion of our salary. Now, the employer, they pay, and that's the school district or the police district or whatever, the state, the county.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, government employees are taxpayers. So we've got two sides playing in. We've got the staff employees, and we've got the taxpayer playing. And so it's a lot of money. It goes to this trust fund. We invest it, and part of the money or all of the money we make helps pay for those retirements. We haven't been making enough money. That's a function
Hasn't it been a problem with that in looking forward as to how we would be able to handle retirees?
Yeah, it is. And that matters before the General Assembly. And we just haven't funded it enough. For some reason, we think about these retirees and the retirement system as separate money, but it's not really. If you think about it, it's all taxpayer money from the employer side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the employees still pay their share,
right.
And that's their personal money. It comes out of their check. But the taxpayer part of it, why do we think of that being separate? We need to think of that as in competition for money with health care and for law enforcement and for roads and bridges. And once we look at that, we'll have a hierarchy, and I think we'll fund it better because it's an important thing. There are 520,000 people in the system, either retired now or going to be retired. And that's they spend money in your store. They spend money at every restaurant. And it's important. And South Carolina's not a rich state, and this is a great way for us to help. Provide.
Now, how much is it going to cost to be able to go through and recover this?
Well, it's two ways to look at it. What I hope to do,
mm-hmm.
and our next commission meeting is not until, I think, 1st of July. What I hope to do is to have recovery audit teams. And these are very sophisticated people because these contracts, I said, like it'd be 1,000 pages long by the time you finish with all the side agreements, the subscription agreements, the private placement menus. I mean, it just goes on forever. So these will be lawyer types. They'll go in, and they will find – the theory is they find money and problems that you didn't even know existed,
sure.
And they get a percentage of that. So we don't have the ability to go back and get that money.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have the infrastructure. So anything we get back is more we're going to get. And there's a reticence. I promise you, I've learned this, and there's no truer statement I can say. In state government, nobody wants to find fraud, waste, and abuse. They all talk about it, but they don't want to know. They run from it every time you see it.
Why?
Well, it's just one of those things. Politicians and bureaucrats don't want to be associated with something that goes wrong. They want everything to be good. I had an immensely important person in South Carolina government with me yesterday. They were sitting in my office, and I was talking to this person. And we kind of have a 10-minute but a far-ranging conversation. And I said, I know this. I said to this person, I said, in my DNA, in my bones, I know this is the honest-to-goodness truth. Nobody wants to know where money goes. They just don't want to know. And this person looked at me and said, you're 100% right. I've been doing this for 25 years.
Well, is that why we can't get anywhere in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, it is. You know, there are lots of reasons, but when politicians just think, gosh, that's bad news, maybe it attaches itself to me. Well, every person, every adult in Greenwood has had financial problems of one kind. Either the richest person or the poorest person, you've all had some kind of problem. We know about problems. The problem is not that you have it. It's how you get out of it.
Sure.
And so my thought is, unless you're the one who stole the money or wasted the money, you don't care. You just want to fix it, and you'll get the credit for fixing it. But that's what it's one of those strange anomalies. It goes back to service. I look at my term as I've got 4 years. I stood on the steps of the state house with my 82-year-old father, who would absolutely kill me if I didn't do a good job. I stood there and took an oath. I've got a 4-year term. I don't have 4 years with an option. I don't have an 8-year. I have 4 years. And so if you look at it that way, you've got to do the right thing every day. And then, you know, 6 months before the election time, then you worry about it. You know, that kind of thing. But the problem we have is, for some reason, in every community in this country, we elect people, and we expect them to start running for office the next day. And when they start running for office the next day, they're saying to you, I am mediocre, I'm not going to take a stand, I'm not going to stand up for you, I'm not going to be interested in public service as much as I am in self-service. And that's where we go wrong. And I don't care if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, if you don't realize that the elected official is a servant, and the taxpayer and the citizen, they're the masters. If you can't get that relationship straight, we need to vote you out of office, or you need to get out on your own.
Absolutely. Well, real quick, you were, of course, at the Silver Elephant Dinner. You got to hear Rubio. What did you think of Rubio? What do you think? Do you think he could be the next vice president on the Romney ticket?
I think he could. I hate to admit this, but I left early.
Oh, you left early.
Listen,
okay.
I love the public service part of this, but I actually grow tired of the politics. I'm tired of us arguing about the same things all the time. I'm tired of us arguing about things that aren't important. We have all these state officials running around talking about federal affairs. People forget, we've hired 7 congressmen and 2 United States senators to do our business in Washington. When a state politician is talking about Washington all the time, what they're really saying is, I'm not doing my job in Columbia.
I agree with you there, Curtis.
And we've got to turn our sights back here. And Rubio's a good guy. I'd vote for him tomorrow. I spent a little time with him beforehand.
Okay.
And got to say hello to him that night. But, you know, it's an echo chamber, and we listen to ourselves all the time, and there are real things we can do. When I came to the treasurer's office, I knew it needed work. I had no idea how much it needed. And the problem is not the people. I had 60 good people there. They do a good job. It's the leadership. It's people like me and my compadres in all these elected offices. We've got these jobs. Everybody treats us nice. Everybody wants us to go fishing and dinner with them and all that. And so, you know, yes, Mr. Treasurer, yes, Madam Governor, yes, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, everybody treats us nicely. But it's not about us. You think about the Bible. What does it say? What's the New Testament about? Almost universally, the New Testament is about service. And the two quotes to me that are the best are, he that is first shall be last, and his last shall be first. And what is that saying? That if you put yourself first, you're going to be the last one into heaven, brother. That's what that's saying. And so we've got to put somebody else. We've got to serve, not be served. And the one that's the most appropriate, the one I like the most, is no man can serve two masters. Everybody knows that saying, but they forget the rest of that, which is no man can serve two masters, because eventually he'll begin to despise one and love the other. Now, if a politician is serving two masters, he's serving himself and the people. Who is he going to love and who is he going to hate? We have got to go back to that. I don't think everybody's got to be a New Testament Bible like I am. We've got all kind of faiths and no faiths at all, and that's fine. I can't do anything about that. But we've got to understand that service, and that's where we go wrong.
I agree. Now, what? Just real quick here. I understand the last time you were here when you came on from Trash to Treasures along a country road on a Saturday morning, we talked about that article that was going to be in the New York Times.
Yes.
I've been buying the New York Times every week, Curtis, and, you know, it's never there.
Well,
what's happening?
It's a funny thing. Well, the article was in Bloomberg, a different article was in Bloomberg, the international press there, just the other day, I think last Friday.
International people were commenting on it.
Right? I know, it's funny. I get emails from Ukraine when you're in the paper. I'm thinking, well, how many people in Ukraine know me? Like 12, right? It's a funny thing. The New York Times article was set to run, and that's when Facebook announced their IPO. Biggest story, so we'll do it next week. And then what's the crazy thing that happened? Jamie Dimon over at the president of J.P. Morgan lost $2 billion and turned out to be a whole lot more. So, all right, we'll bump it. And then they had the Facebook IPO.
Right.
And it's Memorial Day, they didn't want to do it. So it is going to be this Sunday.
It's going to be this Sunday.
It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be something like you've never read before, because I talk about...
Have you read it?
No, but I did the interviews.
Right.
And a lot of people... I talk about things like people who want to bribe treasurers because we have billions of dollars. See, I banked $34 billion of your tax dollars last year. That's $34 billion. Then we invested... $25 billion in a different pool. And so you can see
any hot tips for people
yeah,
out
no.
there?
and so you can see people, and we're a small state.
Right.
Our trust fund is $25 billion. California's is almost $225 billion. They've got people going to jail right now. And so this story talks about how states mismanage their money, how we don't have ethics regulations, how we don't demand reporting and disclosure like we should. It talks about how quickly you can be bribed. I've had three bribes attempts since I've been here. And you just have to keep moving, but you got to know it's there. And the public doesn't really get that. And so I went ahead and I talked about it. I'm trying to encourage treasurers across the country to talk about these things. Until we talk about it, until the people know what goes on, you can't fix something.
You're right. You certainly can't. Now, Budget and Control Board versus Department of Administration, where are we at on that?
Well, they're doing that. They had conference committee today, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got out of that today, and I got a briefing just before I came down here, was they're pretty far apart.
Pretty far apart.
Pretty far apart. So we don't know what's going to happen. And we can keep our fingers crossed. I think no bill is better than a bad bill because it costs you to move stuff around, then move it again and all that.
Sure.
And you don't know about whether it's a good bill or a bad bill for 5 years. So it's, you got 5 years of bad expenses. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
What are you going to keep your fingers crossed for,
Curtis? The House's version I thought was pretty good. It gives most of the stuff to the governor. It keeps some at what's close to the Budget Control Board.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do that and next year we come back and we look again. But see, once the governor gets most of this, when she gets all the cars and the buildings, she gets the insurance program, she gets Office of Human Affairs, and I mean, Human Resources, once she gets, you know, about 80% of it, which is multi-billion dollars and thousands of employees, then that leaves the rest of it looking small right there, you know? And then you can say, what's the best way? Because that's the complicated part. That's the long-term finance. That's the long-term debt. That's the pension plan. Stuff that we shouldn't just be throwing around in a hurry.
Okay.
It's billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars. Well, I know you have to go to, you're going to go see Billy O'Dell.
That's right. I'm going to go see Billy and Billy's friends. That'll be interesting.
Absolutely. And we sure appreciate you stopping by and keeping us informed, and we'll look forward to that article that's going to be in the New York Times this Sunday. But you have some other articles out coming out too, don't you?
Yeah, we have. I've been talking about transparency and accountability in these large pools of money, mainly investment funds, all around the country in the last couple, 3 months, in Miami, New York, Washington, Las Vegas, other I can't think of them. And got to go to Rhode Island in a couple months. And state's not paying for any of this, by the way. State doesn't pay. I pay or I get the sponsors to pay. And so it's really interesting because they've never had a treasurer come out like I have You know, treasurers, they're politicians. They're worried about their jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, I love my job, but I had another life. If I get thrown out in 4 years, I got something else I can do. It's not the worst thing that happens to you, right?
Don't you think in some aspects, this is just we've got some races here, like clerk of court and coroner and some of these offices. Doesn't it seem that they're not really, shouldn't really be political offices?
Yeah. And the treasurer's office, I mean, I get so aggravated because, you know, when they got after me, that they put politics next to y'all's money. And money adds up. It's math. You know, it's 2 and 2 is 4. If somebody sends you a bill for $49 million, they need to send you a letter that says 49, you know, I want 75 billion paper clips or whatever that buys. You know, I want that. And in fact, in our request, I said, I want everything from the most expensive lawyer to the paper clips. I want every fee you charged us. And it's been 2.5 weeks, and we've rocked their world. And so this is a major multi-billion-dollar financial house in New York, but we're going to get it. And when we get that, we're going to study it, not just for what we paid them, but what are they doing? I mean, what are they hiding? What are they not showing us?
Sure.
And all across the country, I've been talking to my treasurer friends, the chief investment officers of these things, and I'm trying to encourage them. What I hope to do is, you know, we had the Wall Street Journal article, New York Times, and Bloomberg. We've had a half a dozen of these national articles and international articles. I'm still alive. Nobody's killed me yet. I'm doing okay.
But you don't have $20 in your pocket.
No,
that's
I don't.
Why.
The point is, once they see I can do it and the world doesn't come crashing down, then we want them to talk. We are bleeding money from these retirement systems all across the country because nobody knows what happens. Wall Street buttons them up with confidentiality agreements. We get them here, then we do the same thing. We can't talk about it. You realize, say of a $25 billion fund, you're going to lose money. The best of funds, you're going to lose money. And when you're that big, you might lose $100 million in a day. Well, when we lose that money, we don't talk about it in public. We talk about what we make. But all the commissions across the country, we go into executive session and we dispose of these matters. That's just not truthful.
Well, it's wrong.
That's right. Yeah. And so what we've got, these are little things, but once we expose this and you put what's going on in these commissions, and then you take the fact that the pension plans, you know, the working people's money, the pension plans are the largest influx of money to Wall Street in the world, not the King of Saudi Arabia, not Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Working people, firemen, policemen, teachers. We ought to not be riding the bus. We need to own the bus. We need to dictate the terms. They need our money more than we need them. And so what we have is a system where they are feeing us to death. They are charging fee after fee after fee. And so at the end of the day, the plans aren't making a lot of money. And we now have investments that are so complex, nobody's quite sure.
But that's going to change.
That's right. And that's what we're working on. The government thinks they can change it by Dodd-Frank, the 2,300-page bill, which will spawn probably 30,000 or 40,000 pages of regulations. That's not going to change anything. But what will happen is transparency. You put the bad actor on the front page of the paper, and people stop doing stuff because they have a lot to lose. And in the financial industry, you can be honest and make a lot of money. So you don't have to be dishonest. I mean, some people are, but most of them are honest.
That's true.
We've got to shine the light on the good ones as well as the bad ones. We've got to shun the bad ones. We've got to show them who they are. We've got to make sure they get locked up. And the good ones, we need to celebrate them because a progressive financial industry is what America's got to have to keep its place in the world.
We need to be proud of people that make money.
You're not kidding.
Absolutely.
That's
and
right.
We've been brought down here to think that making money is a bad thing, but
that's
you
right.
know what? It's not.
That's right. And most people I know with some money are all generous people, and they didn't get that way by being skinflints because skinflints never invest. Right. You know, y'all have got some great citizens of Greenwood. I'm not going to mention the names to embarrass them, but I know for a fact what good people they are and how they and their families, both the narrow, you know, particular family and the extended families, will help anybody and have helped people.
Absolutely.
And so that's you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, Greenwood's a very giving community.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Greenwood is one or two places in South Carolina that's like this. It's because they had these families that helped them. You know, Greenwood is doing very well considering, you know, it's not on an interstate. It doesn't have the other things. And that's why on the Budget Control Board, I always make sure every time something for the university or Piedmont Tech or something comes up, we make sure we fund it and fund it well because we need to keep our your young people here in this River Valley so that they can stay here. You know, you send a kid to Columbia, he's going to marry some girl from New Hampshire and they'll go live in California. We need our folks staying here. We need them to be able to have businesses and good lives right here. And there's no prettier place to live than right here. And, you know, it's cheap as a devil to live in South Carolina.
Well, don't tell anybody.
Well, kind of late on that.
Well, Curtis, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thank you. It's always good to see you, Ann.
Absolutely. That is Curtis Loftus, our state treasurer, spilling the beans, as he always does, right here on WCRS. Andy, let's hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back.